MLB Survivor Angles in just a moment here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. Chris Mack alongside Aaron Hawksworth and Joe Ostrowski. Lightning bets before we wrap up as well. And a couple of those game twos, two very large game twos looming in the NBA that we didn't get a chance to touch on yet. We'll fold those into the two-minute drill in about 20 minutes. Plus, maybe some NHL angles as well with the Stanley Cup playoffs up and running. Maybe the arrival of Hockey Hawk. I don't know. Aaron watching hockey over the weekend in the double box while watching the NBA playoffs. Plus, we've got the latest moves on the NFL draft as well coming up inside the two-minute drill in about 20 minutes. But MLB Survivor angles, with the first game starting in about 2 hours from now, 1:05 Eastern, A's, Yankees. So there's afternoon baseball on a Monday. Everybody loves that. Where are we going? A lot of us, Joe, went Phillies last week. It worked out, right? Perfect 6-0 week for the Phillies. We were relaxing by the time the weekend was within sight because they got a sweep in the first series. Nothing to worry about. You tried convincing me to take the Pirates. Thank God I didn't listen. They go 0-6.
I did not try. I was just bringing it up for sake of the conversation. And that whole idea of I'm just waiting for it all to go bad. You didn't have to wait too long, Chris. It was
a disaster. They're a complete disaster. They can't hit the ball. They have one pitcher who's any good, and they limit him to less than 60 pitches. What are we doing? I know what we're doing. We're pirating. That's exactly what we're doing. Welcome to last place in the NL Central, boys. Here we come. Choo-choo. Fire up the train. Here comes the Buccos. Anyway, won't be playing the Pirates in Survivor anytime soon. Certainly
oh,
not this
six.
Week.
Well,
0-6 week. Jeez. An absolute disaster for the Buccos, who do send Mr. Taco Meat, Jared Jones, to the mound today against the Milwaukee Brewers, the first of a four-game set. I don't know what the angle is this week, Joe, on Survivor. As I mentioned, a lot of people took the Phillies, so they are out of the question. Otherwise, they're probably a decent look this week with 4 in Cincinnati and then 3 in San Diego. Some of the teams I had an eye on, not the Yankees, already used them, I believe. So they're off the slate with Oakland and Milwaukee this week. A lot of 7-game weeks as well, so you're going to need most likely somebody to win 4 out of 7. You're not going to be able to get away with a 3-3 week. The inclination is to just look at the White Sox schedule and take one of those two teams. I don't know if that's a terrible look this week. I think it might work with the Twins having 4 at home against the White Sox and then 3 out in Anaheim against the Angels.
Boy, part of me wants to go into next week, which I already plugged in because it's such an easy schedule. I don't know that Pittsburgh's a gimme next week. The way that they're playing, maybe not. But as far as this week, it is tougher. I have 3 spots, so I just ended up splitting it up. It's like it's just there's not an obvious one selection that is so much better than the others. So I took Baltimore because half of their week they're facing Oakland. You get Rodriguez going twice this week. So I put one on Baltimore. I also took a look at the Dodgers. Now, the Dodgers have all 6 games on the road this week, but 3 of them are against Washington, and you get Glasnow taking the hill twice. So that jumped out to me. And then a little bit, not a ton of confidence, but I'll trust Tampa when they're facing the White Sox and the Tigers. White Sox, you know, maybe they should. They probably should sweep that one. So I'm just looking for 3-3 on the week. Baltimore, Dodgers, Tampa Bay. I just viewed it as a week where you probably want to split it up. I don't see one runaway pick that's easy.
You're muted, Baseball Hawk. I can't have Baseball Hawk perspectives going on mute.
Right. Sorry about that. So yeah, it is pretty tough because some of these teams with horrible records, they do play one series against a team that kind of scares you off a little bit. So I don't know. Fading the White Sox, the Rockies might be tough. I like the Baltimore play that Joe suggested.
Yeah, the Angels stink too. right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if out stink is the word, but they're not good. I mean, they're in that division, by the way. This is an aside from any Survivor conversations. That division, I don't think any of us expected it to be the dumpster fire that it is to this point. But you look at the AL West, and it is. That's the best way to describe it. One team above 500, and it's only the Rangers who are a single game above 500. The Mariners have bounced back a little bit to their credit after a really poor start. But then you've got the Angels 4 games under. You got the A's 6 games under. You got the Astros clinging to life via the last few threads left in Justin Verlander's elbow. Like, that's it. They're 7-16. They are a disaster. Maybe instead of talking all this crap about the White Sox, Joe, we start looking at the Astros schedule and simply taking whoever is playing Houston.
Now, I'm not ready to do that. I know. I thought about it, too, when you look at run differential and all that. No, I'm not prepared to do that because
Cubs,
it's going to turn.
Cubs have 3 against the Astros and then 3 at Fenway.
No. Yeah, I mean, should we not be automatically fading the Oakland Athletics, the fourth place Oakland Athletics? Yeah, we probably should. I'm fine with that. Should. Yeah.
Okay. It's not an easy week to find one, Aaron. What's that?
Yeah, the schedule doesn't look good for the A's. That's for sure.
It doesn't, but again, at least they're not the Astros. So there are a multitude of different ways to go with Survivor this week.
Are the Twins bad?
They're average, like every other team in each Central Division, Joe. They're just kind of there, right? So that's where I came around to, I don't know, maybe, like, Tampa's not great. Tampa's been underwhelming. Nope. But they draw 3 at home against the Tigers and then 3 on the south side of Chicago against the White Sox. I mean, that might be the way I go, to be quite honest. The Tampa. Rays, yeah, with 2 Zach Littell starts and 3 games on the south side against the White Sox, that may be the angle.
And Detroit's been a bit underwhelming. They're just,
yeah,
like you mentioned, they're kind of just there. They're just there. So it's not a team that scares you. So I wouldn't hate the Tampa play at all.
That's really it. I mean, what about, okay, there's one other one I scribbled down.
Do you consider San Francisco now because they're facing Pittsburgh?
What's the back half of their week? The front half
it's
of the week
the Mets.
Is the Mets. Yeah. See, with the and it's Blake Snell against the Mets, and I don't want to get you and Jake into a whole Blake Snell thing, especially because you're in the same room today. There could be blood spattered on the walls by the time we're done. None of us need that. I don't know if I can go Giants yet. Although Webb gets a start again, you split the two on the back end against the Mets. You get a win today, you'd feel pretty good. Maybe the Giants are a look. We didn't bring up the Royals yet, did we? I mean, it's a 7-game week for them, but 4 are against the Jays. Let's talk about the picture of mediocrity there. And then 3 in Detroit. You get 2 starts from Singer, 2 starts from Waka.
Not a spot I want to use them.
You want to save it for later?
Yeah, I'm going to wait. I'll use them in a 6-game week, and I'll use them when they're facing one of the really, really bad teams, or at least teams that I'm sure are really bad. And, you know, Toronto's closer to the middle, I would say.
Mm-mm-mm. Okay.
They're going to face the White Sox too many times for me to take them in a week when they're not facing the White Sox.
Okay, that's a fair point. I just thought, contrarian angle, maybe Kansas City's a play this week for all the reasons that you mentioned that they're not a play, but I see what you're saying. It makes more sense to keep them in my back pocket, especially we've got, what is it, 3 weeks from now, 2 weeks from now, we've got a double pick week.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Maybe
I got
off
one.
On
what about the Diamondbacks? They play the Cardinals and the Mariners. It's a little risky, but Cardinals and Mariners have not been very good.
I like the Cardinals matchup.
Yeah, they're on the road all week, if that bothers you. I don't know if it does. Do you guys even worry about that?
I think in some situations, depending on, you know, where you're going, what the weather may be like, how it affects your pitching, all that kind of stuff, it's worth talking about. You know, are you going to a place where, you know, traditionally it can skew things like Colorado or Arizona? But in Arizona's case, going to St. Louis and Seattle, like two Brandon Pfaadt starts this week, that's actually not a bad look, Aaron. The one thing is Seattle has bounced back really well, I think, in the last week and a half. So I'd worry about maybe only taking one out of three in St. Louis and then being up against it in Seattle.
They have a stretch where they play the Angels, then the White Sox, then the Nats. So in June, you may want to wait for the Diamondbacks for that stretch there.
So that's the other part of this too, Joe, is the strategy of waiting. And how long do you want to keep certain teams holstered? And when, because that is like, it's kind of like the theory, you know, when we were working through the game theory of March Madness Survivor, it was, hey, you can pile up, you can try and pile up points early, but it might lead to you getting bounced if you don't pick the right dog. You can just stay in it through the first weekend, as some people did, like this guy here. And then you get to the second weekend and you're having to make some picks that you're more uncomfortable with. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Iowa State. So do you want to pile up the teams that you know are going to get you through a week early? Or, like I said, do you want to keep someone holstered for May or June when there's no way to predict how they're going to be playing in May or June, what starters may be out of the rotation, who may be limited, what guys may be on the IL, all those other factors that come into play?
Yeah, that's where I was just going to go, because your team, Pittsburgh, okay, maybe they've already played their best stretch of the season and maybe missed the boat on that. Are we going to see another run like that for them? What about Cleveland and Milwaukee? You know, they were flying under the radar before the season started to most people, and then maybe they're playing their best ball right now. So would you maybe push a pick with them now? Or it's kind of how you project the season, too. Do you think they're going to be in the mix for their divisions and they're going to be hanging around all season?
You mentioned Milwaukee. I mean, four against the Pirates right now. I know it's a seven-game week, and it's the Yankees on the back end, but take three out of four from the Pirates. You only got to win one against the Yankees over the weekend at home. Maybe. Joe Ross bounces back.
Oh, no, no, no. Mid-May, we got a Pittsburgh-Houston week. You're going to be all over that one.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate the research. I'll write that one down. I don't know. This is where I do get upset with myself, Aaron, that I've spent a team like Arizona early on, and I can't go with them this week if I want to, even though you mentioned them. That's a good look.
Tampa Bay's not bad. You're considering them. I don't think that's bad. We talked about Baltimore, also the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Should be pretty good.
This might be the week to burn Baltimore. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
With Oakland on the back end, our Oakland A's on the back end. Feel good about that. I'm curious to see how they here's the problem. If they, I'm not sure how they'll shake up the rotation for the weekend against Oakland. We'll see. They have an off day on Thursday, so maybe they reset things. Is there a chance you could get a Grayson Rodriguez again on the weekend? Probably not. But yeah, Baltimore's a good look for this week as well. Those are some MLB survivor plays. We'll have maybe some other MLB plays in the two-minute drill, certainly in lightning bets as well. Your boy hit a big stupid parlay over the weekend. Maybe that'll come up in the two-minute drill that will probably never be replicated. It was just beautiful, dumb luck, because that's the way five-leg parlays on first five totals usually go. Also, in the two-minute drill coming up in just a couple of minutes, we got to get back into these NBA game twos that are still sitting out there, in particular New York, Philly, that we haven't had a chance to talk about yet, and of course LA, Denver as well, with the question of can the Lakers bounce back, and are the Sixers alive whatsoever without Joel Embiid and perhaps without Tyrese Maxey as well? Could be really ugly. And I just saw an email fly across my screen about NHL empty net markets. So we're already getting creative about how we want to bet the Stanley Cup playoffs. Sure, why not? Let's do it. NFL draft as well, because it's now just a little more than 72 hours away. Those all on the way. Anything you may have missed today, including a great dissection of what may go on in the first 5 to 10 picks of the NFL draft, first round as a whole with Scott Smith, the 4 for 4. You know, you can rewind inside your Odyssey app or simply download it as a podcast wherever you get your podcasts. It's BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. A trio of NBA Game 2s tonight. Talked about one of them earlier in Cleveland. A chance maybe for the Magic to get up off the mat, or an early shot at the Cavs putting their foot down in that series right out of the gate if it looks anything like it did Saturday afternoon. You can always rewind in your Odyssey app, AUDACY. It's free. You download that, then you take us with you. Like I said, rewind to anything you may have missed in the last 72 hours on select stations. And, of course, download everything on demand as a podcast as well. Take us with you live as well, coast to coast on the BetQL Network every weekday, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern, inside that Odyssey app. You get up, you listen. You take us to work in the car, then you listen at work or at the gym or whatever else you got going on inside your Odyssey app. Watch the show on Twitch, twitch.tv/BetQL, or YouTube. Just search Odyssey Sports. The other two game twos that we have yet to get into, speaking of getting up off the mat, can the Lakers make a series of it against the Nuggets? They're getting 7.5 in Denver. But first, the Sixers in New York at the Garden. Another game where they're getting 4.5. Embiid questionable. We'll see. He dragged himself back out there late in game one despite the knee injury. Tyrese Maxey didn't go through a shoot-around, reportedly suffering from some sort of an illness, Joe. The most bet player props right now, Jalen Brunson over his point total, 30.5. Tobias Harris over his total at just 11.5 as well, both at minus 125. Unless there is a miraculous recovery for Joel Embiid before tip-off tonight, Joe, I have a feeling this is a Knicks win again. And it's going to be a short series if he isn't able to contribute any more than he was late in that game on Saturday.
Yeah, I find the prop angles for game two in this series to be pretty interesting. So the point spread is exactly the same as game one. Venue doesn't change. The number's the same even after the Knicks win. And Embiid, I guess you want to say injury, but he was able to play in the second half. So how big of a deal is it? Will it continue to happen again? I don't know. There's certainly a chance it could. I'll tell you, though, and I know the illness thing is in question right now with him. Maxey, I felt, was really impressive, just how he was able to attack. Putting up 33 the other day, I'm considering Maxey 25.5. The Brunson love, I get it. We didn't even see the good Brunson. That's the other angle for why people could be so positive, Knicks, why you guys should feel pretty good, is that you didn't even get the good Brunson yet, and you're already up 1-0, and Embiid's hobbled in the series. So you would think that that's going to happen. I don't know about going over 30.5 points, but I understand why people would. McBride's not hitting that many threes again, right?
Probably not, no.
Yeah, it's 1.5 made threes, though. If he gets the volume, yeah, he could probably hit two. So I'm sure some are going to bet the under there, and I was considering it, but I was hoping it was going to be a little bit higher. You know, Hart's points is only 13.5.
Yeah, that's a good look.
He had a big game.
22 from D.C. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I see a 12.5 that's a bit juice. I was looking at alt points for Josh Hart. I mean, he's a big part of what they do. So I really like that look. I can understand why Brunson's prop is so high, but I'm not interested in betting over on him. And then what about, I was looking at Bogdanovich 9.5 points over on him or even Mitchell Robinson. I tend to look at guys that aren't star players to see where you can get, you know, some value on some of these guys. Yeah. Because the Knicks, especially on the Knicks side, they got contributions from their bench quite significantly, which may not continue. Maybe this is a Brunson game. But that was the big takeaway I had compared to the Sixers, who really didn't get a lot from their bench.
That's a great point because, you know, my year's watching Tibbs. Everybody's year is watching Tibbs. What does he do? He's especially in the playoffs, he's going to grind his starters. You're going to be out there 40-plus minutes every single game. And they, you mentioned Bogdanovich. He was out there for 24. McBride, 28 minutes off the bench. 5 of 7 on threes. Robinson, 30 minutes off the bench. Like, yeah, he really spread it out. Maybe he's coming around, or maybe it's just a function of the roster that he has.
I also, like, you guys are both right to not want to touch the Brunson points prop. I tend to agree with that as well. At 30.5, it's too much. But I want, and this is, admittedly, and have a field day with it if you'd like, Joe. This is me being a little bit of a Knicks fanboy here, as I bet them so much down the stretch. Like, there's a Jalen Brunson blood in the water quotient here. Like, if he smells it, I think he could have a night where he goes off, because
yes,
they're in the Garden. Embiid is like a shell, a husk of himself. Maxey's questionable, right, with this illness. If he does go, what kind of version do you get of him? And Brunson says, nope, time to make myself a Garden legend. Here we go. I go off for 36, 38, and we win by 15, 20, and we take a commanding lead in the series, and the dagger is all but in the heart of the Sixers, and he is that dude. Like, he is that shark, that blood-in-the-water shark.
I agree with all of that. If you're betting Brunson, you're going over. He took 26 shots in the other game. He was 1 for 6 on his threes. I'll bet against that happening again. I'll bet against that. And he still ended up with 22, which wasn't, you know, a god-awful game. Just the volume is going to be there. He's going to hit his shots at a higher rate. So if you're betting Brunson, go over. That's where I'm at on that. I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I would not be shocked if he has 30 plus, and it was like the Jalen or the Brunson show, and he had what, 22 points in game one. I think we're all expecting more, but I don't. That's a big variance for me to really get involved. What are we doing with Embiid before we move on? I know. Do we do unders, points, rebounds, PRA, or just stay away? I think 35.5 is the PRA. Seems low, though, if for some reason he just is okay. I was shocked he even came back to begin with, so I don't know if I want to get involved with anything Embiid-wise.
That's the thing.
You can't go over, right? You can't.
No. I don't touch an over. I'm inclined to look at the unders, even as low as they are, because, he might, even if he's out there, it might just be as a figurehead, as a decoy. I don't know. It's the other side of the coin is, what if he just wills himself to, even if he's only 80% of what he would normally be, if he just wills himself to a performance to even this thing up? I don't think it's in there, and that's not a knock against him. I just physically don't think he can do it on one leg. That's why I would be more inclined to go unders, but I'm probably not touching anything specific to Embiid, just because there's too much variance, in my opinion, in what we may get, even, you know, number of minutes we may get out of him. He may play nothing at all. He may drag himself out there for 38 minutes, 40 minutes, and, you know, gut it out, but I'm not touching it. Lakers Nuggets tonight as well. Game 2, 223.5 is the total. Lakers getting 7.5, much like that Sixers-Knicks game, Joe. Same spread as game one. Nuggets covered it after looking a little sleepy in the first half. Game one, Austin Reeves over 22.5 PRA. Juiced at -130. 99% of the bets are on the over there on that number. Michael Porter Jr., same number, same juice. 22.5 PRA, -130. Same action, 99% of the bets on the over. I don't know. If there's an opportunity for the Lakers to make this more than a five-game series, I think it has to be tonight. But you were right when you said earlier, LeBron James just looked like he's at a loss. Like, what do I do? How am I supposed to get past this monster named Nikola Jokic?
So the adjustment from game one to game two is, as of right now, they tick the spread up 1 point, but the total comes down 3.5 points. So I certainly think that's notable. They 4 turnovers in the entire game for the Denver Nuggets offense. Only 4 turnovers. I think they're going to be able to do what they want.
Yeah.
You know, they shot over 50% on their twos. They didn't turn it over. So this Lakers defense, is it going to stop the Nuggets in any sense? No, it's kind of like, okay, who wants it? It doesn't have to be all Jokic. There's so many contributors the other day. Whether you go Gordon, you go Murray, you go KCP, he took 10 threes. So, man, am I just going to lay it? I'm kind of trending that way.
Yeah.
Lay it. I want to do it too.
Yeah.
Was anyone else getting frustrated with the broadcast? Like, Anthony Davis is one of the best players when healthy. Like, yeah, we've all been watching the NBA for the last decade, and we know he's not always healthy. It's just so annoying to me. Like, why are we talking about this? But I was looking at his points, rebounds, and assists. Like, if the Lakers are going to keep this game close or possibly even steal one here, he has to go off, right? He had 14 rebounds, 5 assists, 32 points. His points, rebounds, and assist prop is at 41.5. He had 51 in that first game. I'm looking maybe over. It's only minus 106.
Well, that was a big talking point going into the series. Would AD and LeBron be healthy? And then AD played 44 minutes. So I guess he's fine. And he did produce. Man. I'm not really interested in anything Lakers.
No.
That's
I don't think any of us are.
7.5,
like, I'm kind of leaning the same direction as you two. Like, I want to lay the points, but then there's something about 7.5 that makes it gives you that extra pause for a second.
There's a in part thing.
Yeah, even 7. Like, you get me north of 6.5, and I start to question it just a little bit.
Man.
But it's probably the right side. It is. Like, Denver probably wins again, takes the 2-0 series lead to L.A. Lakers somehow take one at back home, and then Denver comes home and closes it out in 5, right? Like, that's the script. That's the way it feels anyway after that first game.
I might have to play KCP over 2.5 made threes because there's a site posting a plus 142 on that. And he took 10 of them the other day.
Wow. Okay. That's not a bad look.
I think I'll have to.
Not a bad look at all. So those are your game twos for tonight. Obviously, we'll have a couple more tomorrow to talk about as the NBA playoffs progress. There's still the Stanley Cup playoffs going on. There's a big old fat baseball card. And, oh, by the way, the draft as well. This is literally going to be a two-minute drill. Let's go.
It's time to go no huddle with a BetQL Daily two-minute drill.
Jake, fresh off of whatever that was that he got into this weekend, some scenes of which were posted on social media and may require a disclaimer of sorts before observing, joins us for the two-minute drill. Good morning, Jakob. How are you? Have you fully physically recovered?
No, I'm great. I've never been more alive. I'm on top of the world. What's up?
Jesus.
What?
Nothing. Yeah. Are you always this loud in this very small room?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Just checking.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. That's Paul. Am I always this loud?
Well, that was extra energy.
That was a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I did come out hot there.
It's kind of like you're trying to prove something. Like, oh yeah, I'm fine. It's great. Everything's awesome.
I think he had a good weekend. And he's still like glowing off whatever happened.
Joe is like side-eyeing me so hard right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide. Did he have a good weekend? Just trying to feel the vibes over there. Yeah, I think so. That was a weird exchange when you guys did the transition from producer to producer. Just like in the middle of that segment. When he showed up an hour ago.
Yeah, that was like 35 minutes ago, yeah.
Whatever.
Listen, man.
Yeah.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
Okay. Anyway. What are we talking about? What are we doing here?
Whatever.
I don't know. We got a minute left. what do you guys want to do? I mean, we could do.
So what was your weekend? Why are you feeling so? Yeah. Why are you feeling yourself here?
I was at a wedding. I had a great time, except for the very, very botched attempt at the Dirty Dancing move with one Shane Reardon. I mean, imagine my surprise when you get told.
Who did what?
Imagine my surprise when I'm standing at the bar and somebody comes up to me and goes, hey, they want to do the Dirty Dancing move. And I'm like, all right, you know, not to like get a big head about it, but I work out. I'm ready for this. Let's do it. Imagine my surprise when I look at the other end of the room expecting to see, I don't know, like a young lady or somebody ready to do this thing. And it's Shane telling me that I am not the lifter. I am the jumper. And it was just not a good. I ran him over.
Put your life in his hands.
Yeah, sure did. And then he left his phone in an Uber and climbed into his apartment through his window because he forgot his keys at home before even leaving his house in the morning.
I tell Mitch.
Go watch the video during the break, Joe. It's worth the 35 seconds you'll spend on it. Lightning bets coming up next. That was a fun one-minute drill here on BetQL Daily. Time for some lightning bets. We get to those in a moment here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM, live every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern, right here on the BetQL Network, inside your Odyssey app. We are coast-to-coast, nationwide, wherever you need us. We are there with you, whether it's in the car on the way to work, whether it's at work, not listening to the boss because they're droning on and on about nonsense or whatever else bosses tend to do from time to time.
I would never.
Not here. Not here. No, not here. Our bosses, we absolutely are focused on everything they have to say. But, you know, maybe you're hanging out at home. You watch the show on Twitch, twitch.tv/BetQL or YouTube. You search Odyssey Sports. Thanks for joining us. Congrats to Jake for surviving the weekend.
I was just getting info from him on.
Oh, is there more to this?
not the info that everybody wants, but we'll get to that.
He was going over some of the pre-workouts he used to take. It's like, I stopped taking this one because my chest hurt.
I did not say it like that, first of all. I just said I had to stop taking it because it may have made the chest hurt a little bit, and the come down wasn't the favorite feeling ever.
Tell him the name of it.
The name is Total War.
Oh, jeez.
Pre-workout names are insane, dude. Like
they are.
The names of these things are nuts.
Total War.
Total War.
The come down? Just hearing that sounds awful. Like it is a war.
It wasn't super fun. My therapist was like, maybe stop taking it. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. It was just stuff that came in a bag.
What was the issue?
Because it would make my chest hurt, and then it, like the come down after it, which is like I would get so depressed. Like it was.
I
was talking about my therapist with my multiple issues. And I was like, yeah, lately he's like, I love my workouts, but like lately I'm not enjoying my workouts as much. She's like, do you take like caffeine pills or anything? I was like, yeah, I take pre-workout. She goes, yeah, that's probably why.
He's going over it all, like. Yeah, and Madison and Total War. It's like
Total War. Speaking of wars that I fought. Anyway,
I need this. Can you record the next one? So much content.
Record the next what?
Session. You on the couch.
Yeah, record your therapy sessions, Jake. Let's turn it into a podcast series.
Let's turn it into content.
Yeah, why not?
Because I don't give you people enough content of my personal life.
Right, exactly.
I mean, I could use more.
Yeah.
Always.
Listen, anytime you can wake up in a hotel room 2 days in a row, you got to do it.
Boy, the people on Instagram. Aaron, I think the haters that you had there go right to Jake.
From
I don't know. Just anything you say with Lucy, they're going after you.
They were not happy about Pirates.
Saw.
They were not happy about the Lucky Dunk conspiracy.
Yes, that one.
They were upset about that. Yeah.
I mistakenly dragged Jake into that a little bit on Twitter on Friday.
Oh, you promoted it?
No, I didn't get on Twitter. It was Instagram it was bad.
That's what I saw.
Well, it was mostly make podcast equipment more expensive. It was pretty funny. That was pretty funny. There were a couple of people said that. That one made me laugh, actually.
You didn't know those people?
No idea. I was like, damn, true.
On Friday afternoon, the afternoon show here in Pittsburgh on The Fan Paul Skeens on, right? And so one of our afternoon hosts, Chris Muller, tweets out, hey, Paul Skeens up next here on 93.7 The Fan right before his next start in Indy. Geez. And so I just reply, I said, can you please ask him about Persian Kevin Love's ridiculous conspiracy theory about Livy Dunn's gymnastics schedule? To which there were then obviously multiple responses from angry Pirate fans who take themselves way too seriously. Yeah, because that's what we want to do is spend time asking them questions like that. Well, A, not totally serious. B, if they had, it probably would have been more interesting than hearing him talk about his four-pitch repertoire for another 15 minutes. Like, let's have some fun with our interview subjects sometimes rather than just plain old baseball talk.
And which cut is more likely to make national news, whether it's funny, you know, serious or not, people would be talking about that.
Yeah, no, yeah, and there were people who were like, because we compared it to like the Taylor Swift effect. And people were like, Livy Dunn is not as popular as Taylor Swift.
Thanks.
No kidding.
Thanks.
Really? You don't say. Like, or, yeah, that's why the Pirates are keeping him down, because of Livy Dunn. Yeah, what do you want me to say? Because the Pirates are a bunch of cheapskates and they don't want to pay him for a year? No kidding, pal. Like, duh.
Livy Dunn.
Livy Dunn, Messiah, Livy 2024. Dunn. Coming out theaters.
LSU won the national title for gymnastics, so
that's true.
She can go to games now, right?
Yeah, she's available. Okay. Nonetheless, the theory lives on.
What a start to a segment.
Until they fail to call them up
this
week.
7 minutes.
Yep, those are your lightning bets. No, lightning bets time, like actual bets time. Joe, you want to get us started?
Yeah, sure. I'm living in the props. I don't know the zigzag theory on sides. If the games tonight are the spots, I don't have enough confidence right now in the Sixers and the health of Embiid. So I'm looking at some different props. And Magic, are you kidding me? I'm going to back them, ATS, or in any way. Not with the offense that I saw the other day, and don't have a lot of confidence. That's going to change, because that was the issue going in. So what do I have circled? Well, in the Sixers-Knicks, I still believe Maxey's going to be out there. He's going to be fine. Reports about this illness, he's going to keep attacking because he has to. 25.5 for the point total. I'm going over Maxey, 25.5 points. And so McBride threes, I'm not going to go under, but I just think it's going to be somebody else taking the threes for the Knicks. And we have to go back to, the whole regular season. Who was the volume shooter? Who was the guy that people were talking about maybe most made threes in the series? It was DiVincenzo. And he ended up not playing a ton in the second half. I'll go over 3.5 made threes. If you look at the volume, I think he took 5 in game one. Volume-wise, that's one of the lowest totals he had all year. Probably going to take double digits, so I'll go over 3.5. And I mentioned this in the last segment. KCP did take 10 threes the other day, and over 2.5 is plus 142. I mean, if he's anywhere close to 10, he's going to fly over this number. So KCP over 2.5 made threes. I'll go DiVincenzo over 3.5 made threes. I'll go Maxey over on the points. And you know what? I'll go Mobley. Points and rebounds over 24.5 and for Cleveland.
Love All it. Right. I'm going crazy on the props as well. First, let's start with Nuggets -7 and just get that one out of the way. All right. Josh Hart had 22 over 12.5. I'm also going to bet 15+. I think he'll continue to be a big part of this. Bogdanović had 13 points, over 9.5 points. I'll bet that. Mitchell Robinson. He had 8 points over 5.5. I will also be on that one. And yeah, that's it.
All right. We've got some fun new markets popping up at BetMGM all the time. There's an empty netters market now, and I think four of the six game ones, had an empty net goal at some point in them. So maybe that's a market you want to look at. I'll start there, though. Edmonton and the Kings. This is like a yearly event now, the Oilers and the Kings in the playoffs. Game one between those two is tonight. They haven't played game one yet. It'll be tonight. It's a late one. Face-off just after 10 o'clock. And give me the Oilers on the puck line, -1.5. It's +150. And give me Connor McDavid to score the last goal. It's 9-1. We'll sprinkle a little bit on there. NBA tonight, I mentioned Orlando and Cleveland. The total is low, very low. It's come down from game one. In fact, it's 202.5. I think, unfortunately, we're seeing that Cleveland's going to just stifle all life out of the Magic. So I'll take under 202.5. A couple of Knicks props that we talked about. Josh Hart over the 13.5. And yeah, I'll go Brunson over the 30.5. I think there's a chance there's a blood in the water smell, and he takes advantage of it tonight. And Denver laying the 7.5 against L.A. Real quick, baseball, Jays, Royals, first five under, and Minnesota money line against the White Sox. Plus, just to make Paul mad, I'm going to take Lance Lynn over his K prop, 4.5, because he's facing a bunch of dudes that he has struck out in the past. I know. Makes nobody happy, but we have to do what we have to do to make some money. Tomato. Paul, anything you want to throw? Oh, you don't have a mic today because Joe's stolen it.
You can come over here.
Oh, he could.
Yeah, you want him to just sneeze all over
you? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's enough.
I don't know if you guys noticed.
Here's the torso of Paul Aspen, everybody.
I mean, it's better than when Joe was actively trying to shoot out of the shot.
Show.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, well, let me, how can I put the mic arm more in my face?
They are both flannel boys today, too. It's very funny.
He signaled me every segment to turn my microphone off so he can cough and sneeze.
Yeah, it's a little, you should have heard me on the better angle. It was pretty raspy. It was, yeah. So we're playing hard today. But whatever we can do to fade Lance Lynn, we're going to do that.
Okay. All right, good call. Jake, anything before bet slips and bat flips at 2 Eastern?
Yes, there is a game that starts before the show, and I can't believe I'm going to say it, except I can't believe. There's a 2-1 on the money line on the A's against the Yankees and Carlos Rodon. Just out of principle, I think I got to do it, because okay. Carlos Rodon should not be a -245 favorite on the money line. Like, you just can't. And J.P. Sears for the A's, one earned run over his last two starts over 11 innings. I'm going to take a shot. It's 2-1, little sprinkle, why not, just for funsies.
Just for funsies. There it is.
Our A's.
2-1. Our A's.
Our A's, Aaron. You're damn right.
So looking good.
Yankees in the
I know.
What was the
and
number?
Somebody, hard to say, Joseph, laughed in my face when I brought it up, but got to do it.
I did?
Yes.
I've never done such
among
a thing.
Other things.
No, you've never laughed. You two work out some Blake Snell fun after the show as
yeah,
well,
that's a
being
shame,
as
isn't
you're
it,
in the
Joe?
Same room.
That's a shame.
For everyone that helped today, Kevin Lapka, Brian Gerch, Kenny, Jay Kassan, Paul Aspen, birthday boy Joe Ostrowski, who tried to sneak off camera all day on the Twitch and YouTube feed,
what do you mean?
And Aaron Hawksworth. I'm Chris Mack. This has been BetQL Daily.